as a dwarven boy, growing into a man, found I had to grasp the knowledge of my elders, including any hunters who would be happy to drop knowledge on the youth. Gave us great knowledge involving survival. Luck is a very thin wire between survival and success, and not many people can keep their balance on it. That hunter, Hunter S. Thompson. Welcome to Dungeonetics. In this episode, we bask in our freedom, but take in a lump sum of madness. Will the party withstand the treachery of the Underdark, as well as the infighting with each other? Join us now. Join us.
He makes his save this time. Yeah.
Quagga is stronger than all the other enemies combined.
They've got a lot of hit points.
Yeah, it's all right there.
And we've not been doing a lot of damage.
No, we haven't.
He's taking a grand total of three. Yeah.
Not. I'm going to hit him with a Eldritch Blast.
Nice.
No, I got him. It's only going to be 13.
That'll hit.
Big target. That's the good news there. Yeah, big target, not a lot of armor.
7 points.
Wow. 7 points, outstanding. Howl is in pain.
And then I am going to move back. Okay. Because I'm too pretty to get hit.
You speak the truth. I mean...
So it makes it to the end of the rope bridge. It can't make another attack from there, so it's just going to howl and swipe the air near Duncan. Dendril is up. Bob, Dendril will be up.
What's this ring?
I should just attack.
Give him a big shove off the bridge here. Oh. I won't kill him, though.
Well, I want him to be in the water with us.
Yeah, do we want him to be out there?
Push him with the other side.
Yeah, nothing worse than
there's
a jerk.
Spikes over there. Let's
get him out. Is he still on the bridge, so he has disadvantage? Or?
He's right at the edge of it. I probably wouldn't give you guys disadvantage for that position.
You
we'll
get
two attacks.
Plus d4 on each attack because of the bless.
Oh, we blessed.
Nice.
I got 18. You're right, so that's 15 then.
That will hit.
All right.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Good catch, guys.
Stupid dice. You can stop rolling that one.
I'm going to stop rolling that one.
It's so big and glowy.
It's fun.
It's all fun so many times.
The one makes a good noise, it's just as long as it's on one.
Hey.
Okay, so there we go. We got, that's going to be 8 and 3. 11 total.
Outstanding. So Dendril goes in.
Get back, you absolute brute!
Starts slicing at him with his own giant, big old paws. Okay, Eldith gets to go. Oh, Eldith.
Right. Right here. So, part of the old trusty hand crossbow. Never mind, that's a 16 plus.
Oh, yeah, 16 plus stuff hits.
7 points of damage.
Nicely
done. Got a lot of mileage out of that crossbow.
Yeah. She likes this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and Lance is now no longer among us. Rush.
I'm gonna go towards that corner where near the Quagoth is. 10, 15,
20.
Between.
In between the yeah, or, yeah.
Exactly.
25, 30. The 30, I'm gonna attack it.
Wow.
Cool. Boom. Boom.
Make it happen.
Take my short sword and just like kind of like. No, it's not going to hit.
That's
going to
eat.
Bonus action is going to punch it in the face, I guess. I don't know how tall the thing is.
It's kind of hunched over. You can hit in the face.
Okay.
Plus, you've got.
That's not going to hit. And then I'm going to. How much movement did I use right there?
Use 30.
I'm going to use the rest of my 40 to move towards the other people.
I believe you're going to trigger. Oh no, you have mobility.
No, mobility.
You have
mobility.
Do you have to hit for mobility?
No, I don't.
I don't. Wow.
As long as they take the attack, they don't have to.
So nice. Over to here.
Yep.
Nicely done. Florence is on the is in the water now, swimming. Sindri.
Sindri is going to pop another shot off. Finish this sucker off. That is going to hit 14 plus things.
Yep.
And a d6. 3 plus 3 is 6 damage.
Outstanding. Alright.
And then...
Duncan. Well, he's right there, and I've got a warhammer that I haven't used yet.
It's true.
Let's try it out.
Yeah.
Warm it up.
Oh, we have a normal crossbow now.
12.
12 just misses.
Ah.
Unfortunately. Anything else from Duncan?
No, I'm going to hold his ground.
Sounds good. I forgot to, at this point, Shushar is off. Anybody else that we still have as an ally? No, everybody else should stay up there. Okay, Nod, you are up.
Can I hit him with a witch bolt from where I am, over here?
I don't see why not. You've got line of sight. 16
plus, that's
right.
Yup. 10 points of damage.
Wow.
Nice. That is enough to do it.
Yes.
Wow.
So the witch bolt basically hits him, boils him from the inside, he explodes at the edge of the bridge.
I think you mean a giant disembodied tentacle shoots out.
That's what you see.
And then hits him right in the chest and blows out his innards. Yes. So that is what I see.
That's all that matters.
I'm going to fast forward slightly. So you guys all descend down the ropes and make your way out of the water.
Hi, real quickly here, I'd just like to mention, if you would like to reach out to us, Dungenetics on Instagram, Dungenetics on Twitter, and Dungenetics@gmail.com. We can be reached out for anything. If you have any events that you'd like to promote or just want your name shouted out on the internet, because sure knows, we all deserve it. I should mention Elm City Games, who have helped us record in the past, have moved to a brand new location. Be sure to check them out at 71 Orange, here in New Haven. And apologies if you hear any background noise of a car or two, because windows not only reflect and amplify who let the dogs out, but tend to take over huge scenes. Thank you.
So, let's recap, my friends. To begin, when we left off, or when we started last time, you guys were planning your escape from Veldenville. You had received the aid of Jorlin, who is one of the main drow commanders of the outpost of Veldenville. My words will catch up with me, don't worry. You'd received his aid in the form of leaving your cage unlocked. You then were able to take advantage of an unexpected distraction, and that was a flock of demons swooping into the cavern where the outpost was held and engaging in very aggressive and violent combat against each other. The group snuck their way into the main guard tower and subdued the one guard they found there, collecting armor and weapons enough to make them feel empowered to move to the central tower, where they encountered the priestess's assistant, the sub-priestess of the outpost, and her pet giant spider. So Asha, I believe?
Asha Vandry.
Yes. So you guys encountered her and managed to slay her and her giant spider companion, recovering your goods as well as a handful of other items. You made your way out of the cave, fighting a couple more drow and a Quaggoth on the way. The Quaggoth unfortunately proved the end of poor Rance, who was ripped in half while trying to flee from the Quaggoth. The group escaped down into the pool below where the waterfall was, but in doing so, awoke the attack of a gray ooze that had been living in that pool. A little ways away from that, you fought one of the demons, a Vrock, that fell from the sky severely damaged, but was still blocking your path out. So the group managed to dispatch that monster as well before escaping into the tunnels. With some discussion, and if somebody could show Adam, because I don't think I have a spare one on me, the
how did I do that?
The map.
Yes, the map of the underdark.
Yeah.
Yep. So leaving Velkinvelve, the group talked a little bit with its allies, its companions that had escaped from the pendulum. And what they determined, there's a couple different voices and thoughts on the best way to go. Stool, the Myconid Sprout, wants to go back to the Never Bless You, which is his home. He has the support in that, weirdly enough, of Sarath the Drow, who is also being very insistent that the Sprout should make its way back to its home. Stool has also said that he believes that you guys would find shelter and safety in the Neverlight Grove, although from there he doesn't know of any way to get to the surface. Bupido is pushing very hard for everybody to go to Grapplesturd. Grapplesturd is a Duergar city that specializes in weapons making. He cannot guarantee safety there, but if you guys want to resupply, get equipment, and inquire about trade routes out of the Underdark, Grapplesturd certainly does have those. So it's a safe way to get there. For the twins, Topsy and Turvy, as well as Jimjar, the goal is to make it to Blingdenstone, thank you. Keep wanting to call it Blingden Vale. There's a Blazing Vale in a former edition, and I think that's where my head keeps going to. Blingdenstone, which is a deep gnome city or outpost. Finally, Shushar the Awakened, your Kuotoan friend, has recommended that the quickest and easiest place to get to is 8 days travel, and it is a Kuotoa outpost called Sloop Dilpoop, or something of that equivalent. We'll call it Sloopadop. That particular place is on the edge of a giant underground body of water called the Dark Lake. So Shushar has suggested that you guys make your way there, where you will probably be able to arrange either transport or purchase boat or something from the Kuotoa there. And for his part, he wants to go there to spread his newfound calm and more cosmic awareness with his fellows. As for the rest of your companions, Prince Dendril of Quaggoth and Eldeth, the Dwarven Scout, both want to get back to the surface. Quaggoth because he wants to get back to his elven homeland, and Eldeth because she wants to make it to the surface because it's the easiest way to get into Bartlegrim, which is the Dwarven settlement she's from. So the plan right now, the group has set out and has been traveling for 2 days so far, headed towards the Kuotoan city of Silvacop. Whatever you guys want to call it, I'm fine with that too. We'll just keep making those rough equivalencies. As long as we get close to that, we'll call it a day. And let's see, so far, encounter-wise, we've the first day passed relatively uneventfully. In the night of the second day, unfortunately, though, you guys came across a group of goblins who attacked your camp in the night.
Didn't we fight the first day was the crazy one?
Yeah. Yes. So the first night, you had a crazed gnome spellcaster who, or not, he was this one. He was going to be a spellcaster back when I thought you didn't have a spellbook anymore, but he got it again. So he's just a gnome. They fought a crazed deep gnome who seemed just utterly, utterly insane and kept screaming about how you were agents of the evil ones. You had to slay him, but you didn't have much of a choice there. Second night, you were attacked by some goblin ambushers, but managed to make short work of it as well. So now the group finds itself traveling through the Underdark on day 3. Why don't we just get a rough marching order of where everybody is on the off chance that something pleasant does happen?
What's going from?
I'm just saying, based on past performance.
I'm a stool.
Based on past performance, you're gonna hustle. If you want to pull up the rear with stool, I can, wow.
That popped right out, didn't it?
Even worse.
Oh, yikes. So the third day of your travel passes pretty quietly, pretty uneventfully, until about midday. Eldeth has led the party into a large open cavern, kind of a chasm that has been cut here in this particular area of the Underdark. You can see that there are switchbacks on either side, as well as different caves taking you in and out. So starting on one side towards the bottom, you will kind of make your way gradually up, then across. There is a bit of a land bridge that goes across the top of the chasm, and then you continue to make your way down. It's not particularly perilous. The land bridge that you cross is fairly wide and fairly sturdy. Who has survival? Good. So anybody that has survival, two of you can make a check for, because Eldeth does as well, so one person can roll for Eldeth. So two of you can roll for finding food for the group, and two of you can roll for navigation.
That's gonna be a
22. To do what?
Whatever.
Well, which of the two of those things would you rather do? Look for the food or help navigate through the Underdark?
Help navigate. Leviathan would be pulling toward wherever I need to be.
Sounds good. Try to find some food.
I'll have food too.
I was a 13.
Oh, that 20
or 25. Alright, so the 13, you're not able to find terribly much, but with that 25 and with this 22, Eldeth is a little turned around as well, but with Nod's head friends. I really want your Eldritch Blast under your forehead so we can call it headcanon.
Boom!
I'm not proud of that joke, and I'm probably going to make it again. I'm just letting you know now.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, between Nod's navigation skills and then Rush's experience now in the Underdark foraging, you guys are able to find enough food and keep the party moving very faithfully. You've made your way across the land bridge and are now starting to work your way down the switchback when Eldeth pulls the party just quickly aside, just kind of this, everyone, look down there. When you peer over, you can see that towards the bottom, basically starting that switch path that took you a large part of the day to cross, you can see that there are a handful of figures. They're far enough away that they're fairly tiny, but Eldeth, with her eyes, kind of looks at them and looks at you. Anybody who wants to can make a perception check at them.
Just Travis?
Yes.
For your own information, my devil's sight also sees, gives me dark vision. I also see magical darkness.
Good.
Okay.
Where are we at, guys?
4.
22.
10.
7.
Less than 10.
Thank God for Rush.
Yes. Good, I can give you this information because of Rush. Yes. So Rush, pretty much everybody else is having a hard time, but your eyes, you pick out that these are, you recognize a couple of the drow that were from Veldivel. You know that Seraph and Lupito have both said that likely they would be after you, and they're absolutely 100% following you. So you guys are going to have to be careful and try to keep moving. Any getting lost, any sidetracks, things like that, and you may very well have at least the first rank of these drow upon you. So definitely you're feeling now a push to get going.
What is the light level like on the bridge walkway? I mean,
non-existent.
I have an idea, guys. We have those extra cow drops. It's a joke. I'm just tossing on the bridge.
Oh.
I'll love this one.
You can see about a half dozen right now.
We can assume that it's not all of them.
Sarah shakes his head. Definitely not all of them.
Couch-off is a great idea.
Couch-off is.
It'll hold them off for a while.
Threw one of my bags down. That's one of them.
So does this render now the remaining caltrops? Because I know you used them before.
We used
one before. We used two.
We had four.
Yeah. So you can use one or both of the remaining.
I said I picked up two.
Why don't we use two of them so we'll have two bags left?
Yeah, we started with six. We used two immediately.
Ah, perfect.
Okay. So I used one. I don't know if they want one.
All right, so that leaves you with two bags of caltrops. You're not going to wait for them at this choke point, right? This is just to give them a little bit more difficulty in how they get about their day.
Because you said it took us the better part of a day to make it from where they are now to where we are.
Absolutely.
We've got almost a full day to lead on. We should.
Okay. The rest of the day and evening pass uneventfully. Day four mostly passes fairly uneventfully. You find yourself in a series of just very difficult crawls, a lot of steep hills and then quick, sharp dips down, just very difficult terrain, difficult to move around. Again, if I could have two people roll for navigation or two people roll for food.
I will roll for navigation. I did not find where we were going.
Fair enough. And so you want to roll for other?
Six.
I can roll for other.
So you just do it.
Navigation.
Oh, okay.
He's at 21.
Perfect.
And she got a 22 plus whatever.
Excellent.
Was.
Actually, 22.
Eight.
Ah, nicely done, my friend.
I
won. Okay. So, again, half of the party is having a hard time, but the other half of the group going out manages to actually keep you guys on track and keep you where you're going. There is a very unpleasant incident that happens on the fourth day, though. For several hours, the path that you're following, you find yourself plagued by the sounds of terrible shrieks and moans and incoherent gibbering echoing through the nearby passages. You can't find any apparent origin to them, and even the very cursory attempts you make to track down the sources of the noise are not providing any assistance at all. It's starting to fray on your nerves after a couple of hours, especially because you have not been sleeping. The dreams that you've been having since leaving Veldenfell, you've assumed that your bad sleep while you were there was a result of your drow captivity. If so, the stress of it must be following you, because every night you continue to have just amazingly horrific, unpleasant dreams. Just terrifying wake-up cold sweat. In the best of them, you find yourself moving towards a large, large, what looks like a huge lake. And as you approach it, the lake starts to bubble, and the bodies of pale, nocturnal, phosphorescent, or luminescent fish kind of bubble to the top. You realize that as they bubble to the top, though, they are dead. And the water, even though it's dark, you can still see, for some reason, dream logic, that the water is starting to turn into pure water. So you guys are not doing particularly well. And several hours of passing through these hallways, or passing through these chambers with these voices is not helpful at all. I would like everyone to make me a wisdom save. Alright, let's see. So I'm going to go around. We will start with Sindri. Has Sindri four? Okay. How did
Thane got 18?
Perfect. Rush?
4.
Okay. That one, 4.
How did Nod do?
5.
Okay. 19.
Okay. And Duncan?
15.
15. Okay.
Get it together, man.
In the meantime, for Sindri, Rush, and Nod, if you guys could roll me a percentile, we need 15-100. Cool. One percentile.
Fifty-six.
For Judas
Love.
I rolled for Arcana. It's been 16.
The one thing that Fane can tell, definitely, he doesn't know what or where it's coming from. He knows, though, that it's definitely not a natural occurrence. There's something causing this. It is not a native phenomenon. It may be magical of some sort, but the effect that it's having on folks isn't magical. It's more just how deeply messed up and disturbing it is. But you can't pinpoint where it's coming from or why it was happening. What did Rush get?
66.
Okay. And how about Nod? What did Nod get?
81.
Ooh. 81. Fantastic.
Low on the 20, high on the percentile. That's how it works.
So, after several hours, you notice that it is starting to affect your companions pretty significantly. How about this? Let's...
Can I look at this?
Oh yeah, I would like it if you did. Don't act on it though until I tell you. So if everybody could take one of them.
I can do it to the tune of installed in my head.
With Ron dead, there's only five actual actionable folks. But what I'll do is I'll just have Mike roll three times for the others. So if you could roll me three d20s real quick, we'll say
16.
16 is good.
Five is bad.
Okay.
Ron is dead.
And one more. Perfect. Okay, now roll me another d100, please.
80.
All right. So you guys start realizing that some of the people in your party are acting very, very strange. Topsy, the female of the twins, at a certain point after you guys have been experiencing these voices and all this for a couple hours, she just sits down and starts just eating dirt directly off of the ground, just starts shoveling it into her mouth. Everybody who has one of the NPCs, please roll a wisdom save for the NPC. It may be listed on there if they have any bonuses to it. Otherwise,
he's dead. So
what's? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who am I missing that? Oh, I think I didn't give you something.
Sure. You ripped up Pupito.
Oh, I ripped up Pupito. My bad.
Pupito.
All right. Sorry. I'll roll for Pupito.
What an unfortunate end.
Pupito.
Well, indication of where he's going.
Let's see. Alright.
Can I try to comfort Topsy? At least, like, no, girl, no. No. Stop food?
Yeah, you can definitely try. Okay, what does, let's go around.
Eldith got a 17.
Eldith got a 17, great. You don't have anybody? Nah.
Seraph got a 7.
Seraph got a 7. What percentile?
Jinjar got 14.
Great. How did...
Prince Darendil got a 2.
A 2, great. Could you roll a d100 as well? What did Prince Darendil get?
26.
Okay. So, let's see. So Prince Darendil, as you guys are all turning, trying to figure out what's going on with Topsy, Prince Darendil suddenly just starts screaming. He is standing stock still, arms at his side, head thrown back, and he is screaming bloody murder. He is essentially incapacitated. He cannot take any actions. He cannot take any reactions. He is just going to stand there and scream. What was the percentile for Eldith? Tim?
Seraph, not Eldith.
Oh, Seraph, I'm sorry. What did those?
85.
All right. Well, this is convenient because both Nod and Seraph are both stunned. So you are incapacitated, no actions, no reactions, can't move, you can speak, but only falteringly, and you will automatically fail any save or dexterity saving throws. And any attack rolls against you have advantage. Rush, you find yourself suddenly having vivid hallucinations. So you are seeing the walls are starting to turn different colors. They're starting to flex and flow, and you see hands kind of bubbling out of them. Functionally, you can still operate, but any ability checks you have to take, you have disadvantage on.
Mike, you pick.
All right.
Or if you want to do it fair.
Fair's not fun.
Okay. I agree. Fair's not fun.
Sindri looks suddenly enraged, turns around and points his crossbow stool. Shows him a stupid mushroom. And he attacks him.
Yeah, 26. Whoa. Oh my god.
27.
Oh, yeah,
25.
25
to hit.
We need him to talk.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Alright. You 100% hit him. I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah. Would you like to roll for damage?
Not really, but.
Oh, that's a good
deal. He's fucking toast.
Maybe we can take his body along and squeeze up some force.
That's, that's 11 damage.
Jeez! Oh. Yeah, you explode stool. So stool is hit with the cross. Sindri turns around, opens up with his crossbow bolt, hits stool. The crossbow bolt just basically spreads stool out all over the ground around you. Everybody, do me a favor.
What's happening?
Everybody go ahead and roll 1d10 for me, who has had one of their characters been given an instruction by me. Everybody who's made their saves is fine. For the rest of you, roll a d10.
Is he dead?
He had 7 hit points.
Oh no.
Does he get the benefit of death saves and healing, or he's an NPC, so he's zero?
You know what? I will happily give him the benefits of death saves and healing, since I can see that I'm bumping some of you guys out. So why don't we do a quick initiative then?
Why couldn't there be GDR?
Oh, that's a good point.
Perfect time.
So everybody go ahead and roll initiative for me. What did you get, by the way, on your D10?
I got 8.
Okay, so 80 rounds is how long this is going to go on for you.
Great.
Rush, what did you get on your D10?
I got 8 as well.
Okay, 80 rounds, Nod.
5.
So 50 rounds for Nod. Do one more time for Sarah. 7.
I got
8
for Rush.
Should I roll initiative for
He's basically, yeah, he will be screaming. Yeah, so I mean, I can roll the initiative, but when it comes to him, he's just going to be like, ah! Alright, Eldeth, fortunately, gets to go before Sindri does.
Did you have to have a bludgeoning weapon to do some damage?
No, you just need to have a melee weapon.
Okay.
She started attacking with her short
sword. She is going to hit a...
Tell me to hit.
Yes.
8 points of damage.
She
going to
move in?
Yeah, she
would have to. Oh, yeah. 8 points of damage.
9 left.
Cool. Come on, guys. You can do it. Jim Jar.
Jim Jar is just going to rush. Brush Sindri, and take away his crossbow.
Yeah, good luck.
So Jim Jar is back here.
This is Jim Jar. This one?
Yeah, we'll give it a go there.
Oh, this is me. Oh.
No, that was supposed to be
you. Oh, okay.
I don't really care. Yeah. With armor, yeah. So, to grab the crossbow, let's make an opposed gravity check. So, make a strength attack for Jinjar.
11.
What's your AC?
15.
15? Okay, so the way I was getting it is first he has to roll to try to grab it, and then he would have an opposed strength check. So, if he tries, you manage to yank it away from his
feet. Like an outstanding attack?
No, not for that. Cinder. Jim Jar is right there in your face and just tried to grab the crossbow.
Ooh, perfect.
You can shoot, keep in mind that shooting him directly in the face will give you disadvantage,
But then again, you know. Are you guys going to try to heal Jim Jar too if he goes below zero? Or is this a one-time one-shot thing for Swift?
Jim Jar, but you know.
Oh, yeah. I've only got so much healing to go around.
I'm going to. Oh, since
this
first
time,
I'm
to go around.
So I trigger two attacks up to three, I think, actually.
Let's see. It's only for those who you are moving away from.
I move with them 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, so Eldef, he couldn't possibly have gotten 4. So Eldef. Thane and Rush will all get an attack.
Not
as
you don't.
Not as incapacitated, unfortunately.
Three attacks of opportunity.
So three attacks of opportunity. One from Eldef, there, Tim, and then one from Rush, and one from Joaquin. Rush. Yeah, Rush just has this in your joint.
No.
Ability checks.
Does it count as attack? Okay, so. The attack count as ability check?
No.
They use like grapple as a attack.
So go ahead and try to just make a strength check.
Okay. Oh, that's a lot. That's 17.
And let's see, Sindri, do me a favor and make me either an athletics or acrobatics check, whichever you choose. If the contest is a tie, the situation remains the same. Plus one contender. So therefore, you would not. Yeah, if it's a tie, you managed to just scoot out. All right, now everybody remember that so that the next time it comes up, I don't have to look at this. It will fall directly out of my head. Thane, you also get an opportunity. Oh, Thane with that?
Yeah.
Zat and a Thane, yeah.
That's
all right. Okay, I'm just impressed that I got something right. Won't happen again. So Payne has an opportunity to have it. The names I can commit to for
this. Eight.
Not so
much. Okay. Yeah. Back one more spot, Jim Jar gets an attack.
Let's see. The jump that's gonna make. Oh, actually, yeah, go ahead and make the attack box. Ooh.
19.
Yes.
So Jim Jar basically ran up and said, come here, no, don't stop shooting all the time. What are you doing, man? What? Oh, God, oh, no, oh, no, whoa, hey, all right, yeah, come here, crazy. Stops you in the side of the head with his short sword.
Bonks me sideways.
Yeah, so you have kept moving. What do you have to do now?
Okay, so that was 10 movements, so I have another 15, and I'll back up 15 more. 10, 15, now she's fucking asleep.
That's actually his fully modest character.
He is pissed that the stupid deep gnome hit him out of all of you guys. That's a part of 20. And that's 6 plus 4 is 10 damage.
10 damage to Jim Jar. How many points to Jim Jar after?
That's 17.
Alright.
17 left.
Yep.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's my
thought. Well, they're supposed to live past first level, God willing. So, provide the party doesn't to shoot them directly. Thane is up.
Alright, I will cast sleep. Actually, can I use an arcana check to see if mutants would be affected by sleep?
That would be more of a nature check to know stuff about their species.
Even if
they
can do it, I'm not
proficient. Yeah. It's a knowledge check. You either know it or you don't, basically.
11, 15.
Are deep gnomes immune to sleep?
I have advantage against the magic.
That's right.
It's the same, right?
Sleep would be... No, actually, there. I don't think there's a save for sleep.
No.
It's just what he's targeting.
Yeah. But it's up to you to hit that, actually. It's a good one. Yeah. Please sleep.
All right. He'll have to roll and find out. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem based on how many points you have. This one you got lucky hit points.
Two.
Lucky hit point. You roll how much?
5d8.
Don't even bother.
He's
only got 2 hit points left, 5d8.
You can sleep a 1, 1, 1, 1.
If you need like, that's probably very smart. Let's give that a roll.
Just kind of scream on top of the one for 8 minutes.
And if I remember correctly,
you can only choose where you're going
to smallest up to largest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, smallest hit point.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so he's definitely going to.
He will score.
So
that's enough to knock down Sindri. So Sindri is asleep. Let's see.
Speaking of,
so we've got Nod and Seraph both. What are Nod and Seraph's hit points?
Nod's hit points are 21. Seraph's in use. 13.
And then we've got Top. Did you want to worry about Topsy?
What are Nod and Seraph doing?
Nod and Seraph are basically stunned. they're just kind of sitting there like,
they're
pretty harmless right now.
Right now
has the operative phrase.
Right now, right?
Yeah, everyone in the room, seems to be mentally evil. I'm gonna try.
Would be dead.
Yeah. So I don't know how many points turn Topsy has.
Topsy has 33 hit points.
Wow. So I think I get those two. Seraph and...
Seraph and Nod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would bring us, I think, like 35 or something like that. And 37 hit points left.
That should do it.
Cool.
All right. So we can come out of combat there at this point unless Flo, Rush, or Duncan want to come over and use their initiative to bash bash Sindri's brain in. Actually, we should stay. You know what I didn't do?
Duncan does want to get over and try and get a fungus.
Yeah. So
I can use healing word. Just a healing bar.
Just you. Stool.
Your stool.
Yes, yeah. 7 life.
So we will heal Stool. So Stool, basically you're kind of like splattered all over. No, the bolt originally kind of hit and pierced right through him, and you feel like oh no. So Flo runs over and gives a healing word over to Stool.
Heals for 7.
Wow. That is not awesome.
Bolt.
That hurts a lot.
Oh.
Stool doesn't understand why his friend shot him. Why did that happen, Flo?
Stool, it's not a safe place here. I'll get you home, I promise.
No?
Jumdra looks at you.
Shut up, Jumdra.
Don't worry, okay.
I got a platinum piece on this, buddy. I don't know if you want to, Flo, if you want to do this, you know. That's currently passing through has ceilings ranging from 40 to 50 feet. The tunnel itself gives enough space for 4 of you to walk side by side if you wish. The tunnel itself continues on for hours, and you realize gradually as you're moving through the tunnel that it is filled with a dim light, despite the absence of any visible fungi or any other things that you can see that could possibly be generating that light. Just there's a kind of a faint bluish, purplish glow that just emanates throughout this entire tunnel. Seraph notices some of you noticing the light and looks about at you. My people call it famous rest. Legends have it it's an ancient magic dating back to the time when we drove the first exile from the world above. Many of the races on this side have used the properties of the deities fused with this famous rest to help protect the settlement.
Number of things, my friend, yes. Areas suffused with the phase rest always have light. They're always filled with light. Sometimes dim, sometimes brighter, but always the light. And if you are in the phase rest, you are harder to find by act of magic. Creatures trying to find you with magic have a harder time penetrating the overall energy that this phase rest gives off.
So functionally what that means is that anybody who is in an area gets an advantage on saving throw against divination spells. If the spell doesn't allow a saving throw, the caster actually has to make a constitution save to even cast the spell. And if he fails it, then the spell's just wasted, just poofs out.
Would Sindri know, is this like a property of like the material that the stone fan?
Make an arcana check.
17, it's not the material, it could be found literally anywhere, and Sindri knows from what he has heard and what he has read, this is his first time experiencing this too, although he has seen vendors before who claims to have captured a bottle of Faezres, they never have, it's always BS. But the areas of Faezres can be anything from a couple of feet to miles and miles, and it's really completely random. There is some thought that it could even move independently on its own, although again, that may be in a wives' tale. You just know that drow especially like to build outposts near these areas because of the protections against radiation. The other thing that you're aware of, if what you've heard is correct, then teleportation is extraordinarily difficult into or out of an area of Faezres. It's extremely difficult to pull off. And the other thing that you have heard is that it can't be dispelled. So an anti-magic field or something like that would probably suppress it, but the minute that field expired, it would come right back in. You can't get rid of it. Just a weird function of the field.
Have we seen any traces of the drow party in the last day or
so? Not in the last day or so. You guys, fortunately, made all of your rolls today, so to check the scene last yesterday really threw you off, but so far, she spent some time covering up the trail, so should be something that hopefully helps you guys out in the long run. You guys have taken, it is the seventh day, and you guys have taken a very brief rest with Eldeth scouting ahead. She comes back to tell you that she's found a cavern ahead that seems to have a lot of different types of mushrooms in it. Some of them may very well be useful to you guys. So she suggests it's a side cavern off of where you've been, but she thinks you guys might be able to find some materials in there, possibly some alternate food stuff. So you guys are getting a little tired of just eating the scrapings and cave slime that you're able to recover. So she says some of this might be a little bit better. You can leave the main group basically here at your little break site and go off with a scouting expedition to explore the caverns if you want that cavern if you want. Or you can take the whole group, it's up to you.
That'd be to make a pretty good time, especially with the false trail and the cavern. Probably wouldn't hurt to take the whole group.
Yeah, it'd be safe at least have a, if we come out of a cave and half our crew is slaughtered.
How far away? Let's not split the party.
Trash, how far away is this group?
Oh, it's very close, like a 5 minute, like 5 to 10 minute walk.
And can't see the roots of the party then.
Cool.
Okay.
Of course, that just could feel out of imagination on my part.
It's a tight feel.
What about what?
Not our chances. Alright, I hate this.
He's not the guy you really want to ask.
Yeah, I know, but like the fatalist.
See, here's the thing though. The Leviathan doesn't like our chances. The Titan is happy to ignore the battle. So in pretty much every situation.
I know. Really impressive stuff. Thank you for listening to Dungeonetics. We'll catch you with our next adventure real soon. Thank you again for listening to Dungeonetics.